On today's episode of Bet, Bath, and Beyond, Andy and Ian discuss their losing parlays. They talk about how the Seahawks are frauds. They recap week 9 of the NFL, and they preview Pat's Jets. Let's go.
3, 2, 1,
go.
I am Ian Peacock.
And I am Andy Heidemann, and I hate sports betting.
No matter what you say, I'm betting 100 on it tonight.
Welcome to Bet, Bath, and Beyond.
Brought to you by B3TSports.com.
You always forget the .com.
No, I just always know you're going to include it.
Okay, that's all right.
It's like a little tag team action.
I like that. Do you want to do Bet, Bath, and Beyond first?
Do I ever? I mean, I don't care.
Well, no, I've given it to you like once, and I don't know if you liked it, if you disliked it. What's your thoughts on saying
Bet,
Bath,
Beyond? Whatever is the least amount of work for me, my guy.
Okay, then we'll keep it as is. You just continue showing up, talking for an hour, and then I'll just be the one who mixes it for, you know, another hour.
Yeah. No, that sounds great. I don't know, like, in what world where you said that, where you thought, hey, this will get him. This will make him feel bad.
I actually didn't. I had no doubt that it was not going to make no impression on you. You just keep, here's what I need from you, Andrew. This is all I need from you. Keep making stupid bets and keep shotgunning heavy beers at 8 a.m. in the morning like a complete psychopath.
Do you like that at the beginning of that video, how it's a close-up of the Chiefs beer?
Yeah, it was good. I just can't believe you shotgunned a heavy beer. I wonder how much alcohol percentage that is.
It was like 7, I think.
Oh, my God,
it was so awful. I don't know if you saw my face at the end, but it was terrible.
Oh, my. You're a psychopath.
Well, to be fair, I feel like I took such a bad bet that I kind of deserve it. So, I mean,
you do deserve it. I mean, you had 2 chances to really understand what you were doing, and then it took
to be,
you.
Oh, you okay? No. You say 2 chances, but if I would have realized that second part, there's no way I'd have gotten out of that bet. Don't act like you'd have gotten me out of that. If I'd have been like, oh, I thought I was taking whatever cut. There's no possible way.
No, okay, you're right, but it did take you three times to figure out what was.
It took me 3 days.
What was,
like in it.
Right.
Like
so
even it was stupid.
For those of you that don't know, if you've missed a couple episodes or if you're just now joining us, welcome to the Bath Gang, the Bath Boys.
I don't think that's what we decided on.
Welcome to the Bath Boy Gang. Andy bet me that the Chiefs were going to cover.
Not the Chiefs.
You're right. The Colts were going to cover a -10.5 spread against the Ravens this weekend.
Mm-hmm. And I don't want people to think, I don't want people to tune in and hear that and go, this guy's a fucking moron. Because I am a moron. But I thought, I was doing something at the time that this bet was placed. I thought that was a +10.5 spread.
Right.
Big oof.
Because the Ravens were -1.
And you wouldn't have taken that at +10.5, would you?
No, I would not have.
Okay.
But it wouldn't have mattered. Well, actually, wait, let me rephrase that. If I did, I still would have won because the Ravens
but you wouldn't
torched
have been confident
the Colts. No, I would not. No.
Oh, I wouldn't say they torched them. They did in the second half, but if they'd have played that way the whole game, that would have been a torch. But the Colts had them going in the first half.
Yeah, but true. But we torched them in the second half, and that's all anyone's going to remember. No one remembers the first half.
What do you think of the Colts as a team?
They're not good. They're not good.
You don't think they're good?
No. And in fact, if you watch that game, we just played awful.
They definitely have flaws.
Well, we just played awful. The Ravens played absolutely terrible. We had the lowest, I believe, the lowest offensive yards as Lamar as our starting quarterback.
Really?
Yes. That was the worst half since Lamar has been our starting quarterback in terms of offensive yards.
In the sense of somebody who likes just football in general and is a fan of the sport, I'm very glad that Lamar pulled himself out because after the game he played against the Steelers, which was not good.
Nope.
And then the way he started against the Colts, I was thinking that he was going to start slumping. Like, yeah, I don't know what it was. Like,
the thought definitely, maybe, yep. The thought definitely, you know what crossed I mean? My
just
mind.
It gets scary.
Yeah, no, it does, because you're allowed, like I said, when we lost to the Steelers, you're allowed to have one bad game. You're allowed to have two bad games, right? Even we didn't play great against the Chiefs. We didn't play absolutely awful.
Sure. Like you we didn't did play against Steelers, the Steelers bad, though.
Yeah, we right. didn't play exactly. We didn't play Steelers bad. However, once that becomes a pattern, then all of a sudden you're like, okay, is this going to be the norm now? Or is this just kind of a phase? Or is this just labeled, a bad day? You know?
You don't want to get labeled a Kirk Cousins. You don't want to get labeled like the guy who can't win in prime time or in big games, you know?
Right. Those are so hard to shake. That reputation is so hard to shake.
Because I actually don't think Kirk is really that bad. I think Kirk is not the world's best quarterback. And I think you get what you pay for. You wanted the Vikings wanted a consistent guy who could put up good numbers in the right scenario. And that's what Kirk is. And that's what Kirk has been his entire career.
Right.
No, and I now agree with that. Now every Vikings fan is like, but he's not throwing 400 yards a game. It's like, well, first of all, you're a run first team. You've always been a run first team. Second of all, he's not that guy anyway. That's a different conversation. But I'm just saying, you don't want to get labeled like that,
right?
Okay, what else? Yeah. What else you want to talk about before we talk like jump into the games? Any other things that you want to just talk about? Address? In general?
Yeah, I do want to address one thing. My nine
the Seahawks
game,
are frauds.
The Seahawks are frauds, and that ties directly into what I'm about to say. The 9-game parlay that I had for this week. You know, I blasted it on the social media. I blasted it on b3tsports.com. Very confident in it, even though it was a plus 900.
You should have been. I liked it.
Yeah, plus 900 odds. And the only game that did not hit in that parlay was the Seahawks-Bills. I had the Seahawks plus 7.5. Seahawks lose by 10. I did have the Jets-Patriots. I had the Patriots money line. So if the Patriots win tonight, then the Seahawks single-handedly lost my 9-game parlay.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, they'll do that. They wrecked my 10-team parlay last week. Or was it the week before? I can't ever remember. I've had two.
I think it was the week before, but now I can't remember either.
Well, I've had two 10-team parlays go down to a single game, and the Seahawks wrecked them in the one 2 weeks ago, and I'm 6-10 so far if the Jets win tonight, which they won't, but then I'll be 7-10.
Yeah, I do like the, for those of you that don't know, Andy specifically picked the Jets. Well, why don't you explain, Andrew? Because so, I'm sure if you just said that, most people are like, wait, you took the Jets as part of your 10-game parlay? Well, it was never going to hit in the first place.
Right, and that's probably true. The thing is, when you have so many games in a parlay, I like to take, especially if you've got one that's going to be isolated and be for sure your final game, I like to take the underdog. It gives the initial parlay a huge odds boost. So if you get lucky, you're going to cash out big. And if you don't, all you have to do is hedge that final game.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
I actually really like that strategy.
Yeah, and you have to hedge a little bit more, obviously, because it's like if you're going to make money off the Patriots versus the Jets, you're going to have to bet $600 to make, you know, something back. But, I mean, it's still like you're guaranteeing money.
Right. That would be the only scenario I can think of to actually do this, because either way you're going to win money. Is if the last leg of your parlay is the underdog, then you can hedge it. Doesn't matter how much you bet, because you know you're going to guarantee some sort of winnings once the game is over.
So anyway, yeah, Patriots Jets are tonight. We could talk about that later. You want to start off with the Broncos and Falcons?
Are you sure you don't want to start with the Packers 49ers?
I would love to talk about Packers 49ers, but I'm going to get yelled at.
Oh, man. I love that joke. That joke will never get old.
What never gets old? Falcons almost blowing a lead.
Yes. Okay. Let's talk Falcons Broncos. This is the order that the NFL.com site gives us. So I'm sure it's going to be out of order. Like it always fucking is. They mix up the mid-afternoon games with the early afternoon games, and sometimes we'll throw in a Sunday night game before, you know, before a mid-afternoon game. Their ordering is so fucking off. Horrible. So I apologize in advance.
I watched this game, but not really. It was just, I had the game on. For fantasy, Drew Lock played all right. I mean, he played shitty, but he played all right enough at the end of the fourth quarter to make himself have a good fantasy day. Jerry Jeudy played very well. Julio Jones had a touchdown. Matt Ryan played pretty well. This game was boring.
Yeah, I did not watch this game because Ravens game. It's the only game I'm watching when the Ravens play. I don't have any other screens up. That way I can dedicate 100% of my attention to my team.
That's insanity.
To my team. Nope, it's called loyalty. But I did, you know, I was checking fantasy, obviously, because I'm not a maniac. And this game was also in my 9-game parlay. I had the Broncos plus 7.5. And boy, am I glad I took that plus half. That extra half, exactly. Because I honestly thought this game was going to ruin the 9-game parlay right off the bat. The Falcons had the lead the entire game, I think leading by maybe 3 or 4 touchdowns at one point. And then the Broncos made a comeback. And then we were like, okay, are the Falcons about to do what Falcons do best and give up a fourth quarter lead? And they managed to hold on 34-27. One also thing to note is I said Todd Gurley is done. I traded him in both the leagues that I had him in. And again, he only had
He got a touchdown.
He got a touchdown. He only had like 40 yards on the ground, but he managed to secure a touchdown. So
he's got the most rushing touchdowns in the NFL right now.
He has. Yeah, he does. He absolutely does. I think he's at 9 now. He is only relevant in fantasy if he scores touchdowns. And I knew that when I traded him, and I knew that when I drafted him, or not drafted him, but traded for him earlier in the season. And I don't know.
That's the thing about fantasy, right? Like, I know touchdowns are they're not a sticky stat. They're not something that you can rely on. And if you trade a guy away who is touchdown dependent, but he scores in every game after you trade him away, I mean, that's still relevant points. I mean, you were probably right to make the call, but you're still going to look back at it and go, that kind of sucks.
Yeah, no, it does. It does suck. But again, I can't live my life week to week hoping that Gurley scores a touchdown every week, because that's just not going to happen.
That's what the Falcons do.
Yeah, I guess so.
Anyway, yeah, like you said, 27-34, Falcons win. Let's talk about the horrible, horrible Seahawks and the best team in the world, the Buffalo Bills.
What? I didn't watch this game because Ravens?
I watched the fuck out of this game.
But what the fuck was happening? I feel like
Russell Wilson is not an MVP.
Is he not? No, for real.
I don't know if he can. I don't know if you can. He's so good at football, but it's just that team is so, so bad on defense. And he had like 3 or 4 turnovers in this game.
How many interceptions did he have?
2. And he had 2 fumbles.
How did Josh Allen look?
Josh Allen looked electric.
Yeah. I mean,
that's a horrible defense, and Josh Allen is a good quarterback. He slumped. He definitely slumped a couple of games.
I was worried about. I was worried about the Bills slumping after they played the Chiefs on Monday night. It was that rainy game. They just didn't look the same since that game. And yeah. I've bet on the Bills a few times this season since that game, and it's gone back to bite me in the ass. I've started some players on the Bills since that game, also bit me in the ass. But I'm glad the Bills have bounced back. I'm glad Josh Allen has bounced back. I have Stephon Diggs, who is, I think that was a great fit. I think that was a great fit for him was he traded? He was traded, right?
He was traded.
From the Vikings.
For a lot. They gave a lot to get him too.
Well, I mean, he, I feel like, is relevant every single game, so.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's interesting. I mean, we're getting to the point of the season where I'm looking at records and I go, the Seahawks are 6-2, and that's a good record right now. You know, it's like, or you look at the Bills, 7-2, that's a good record. But then I think, I don't remember you winning 7 games.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't remember the Bills being 7-2. I obviously lost to the Chiefs. I can't remember that. Their other loss must have been a bad one, and I can't remember who it was.
I can't remember either, to be honest.
Well, I mean, I don't watch the Bills every fucking week, but.
But anyway, Bills win 44-34. The Seahawks had several chances to take this back, and I honestly, up until there were 30 seconds on the clock, I thought they can win this game still, just because it's Russ and DK and Lockett.
You live bet them.
I did live bet them. They were part of a live bet parlay when the Chiefs were down to the Panthers, when the Seahawks were down to the Bills, and when the Ravens were down to the Colts. I put a three-team parlay. I bet $15 to win like $186. That was a great bet, in my opinion.
I think so, too. I mean, you sent it to me before you placed it, or maybe after you placed it. Either way, I looked at it. I did say I was nervous about the Seahawks, I didn't have the – I wasn't even watching the game. I just was seeing the score ticker at the bottom. But I was actually nervous about the Ravens based off of how we were playing in the first half.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that was one of those those were three teams that were favored that I think are good teams at the beginning before the games even started. Then when the game started, obviously they got down. I mean, the best case scenario for any live bettor is that you watch every single Chiefs game, you hope that they lose the coin toss, the other team gets the ball, and they go down and they score 7 points. Then you live bet money line Chiefs, because you'll never get them at better odds than that.
Absolutely. That's actually a great point. Also, what's great about live betting is when you know a game. Well, actually, I got burned by live betting last night. We'll talk about it when we talk about the Sunday night game. But I was almost going to say, when one team runs away with it, 99% of the time, you can, like, the live bet spread that Vegas gives you usually is so big. You're like, no way they can sustain this lead, especially when the person who's up is running the ball and right. They're not really trying to score anymore. They're just trying to beat the clock or drain the clock. Usually it's a good idea. And then obviously the other team is usually going to go for it on fourth down. They're going to be passing it a lot. That's usually my bread and butter, is to wait there till there's a huge lead and then live bet the spread that DraftKings gives me. And usually,
like a 27 point spread, like something that's crazy, something that like could never not be covered.
Right. We'll talk about that. Usually that team covers the spread just based off of the style usually. Of gameplay, like I just talked about. But last night was not the case.
Last night was awful. It was not a fun night for me.
Oh, man.
Okay, so the next game, Ravens-Colts. Ravens win 24-10. The game did not start off that way.
No, the Colts jumped to a 10-7 lead. And
I got to say, Dez was impactful.
He was in the game for one play. He's still learning the offense, but he looked good out there with the 88. He's running the 88.
He was moved to practice squad again?
I did not, no. Really?
You guys demoted him back down to practice squad.
When was this?
Sometime today.
Oh, shit. it's been a busy day, I'm not going to lie. I haven't really been looking at sports talk.
I mean, it's not
but
really...
But I'm surprised I didn't even see that. Usually follow...
It's not super notable at the moment because due to the new CBA, you can do that. And now they can move... The next time they move him to the 53-man roster, they have to sign him. Mm. Or something like that. They have to pay him some amount of money. You're allowed to move people from your roster like that just twice. So I mean, they're either going to cut him or they're going to promote him again.
I wonder why they did that. I mean, again, he was only on the field for one play, and it was a running play, I believe. So he didn't even. There was no way he was going to get the ball on that play. Right. And I just figured he's new. Obviously, he's trying to catch up and you know, get used to the offense, get used to the scheme. And that surprises me that they pushed him back down to practice squad.
And I mean, you're the Ravens expert. What do you think of this game?
So like I said, Colts jumped to a 10-7 lead. We thankfully had that fumble recovery, which was awesome. By the way, that picture of Clark jumping over
Mr. Rivers.
Yeah, Phil Rivers was awesome. And the fact that he tripped over himself and fell on the ground.
It was
like,
the most Phil Rivers thing ever.
It really was. It was
so
funny.
Darn it.
And the fact that Clark jumped over him. Oh, man. It was too funny. But actually.
Yeah, my takeaway is, I mean, like, I can't believe that Dobbins didn't get more work. Just after watching the last week's game, like to this week's game.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Well, here's the thing. Gus Edwards did fumble once, and he doesn't usually fumble. And so that was so I think that when that happened, I thought that J.K. Dobbins was going to get a lot more. But Harbaugh surprised me by giving the ball back to Gus. And Gus was actually, he scored a touchdown.
And, I mean, you got to instill confidence in your guys, right? If you still believe in him, obviously.
So, yeah, first half, like I've already talked about, worst offensive half for Lamar Jackson since being a starter. It was terrible. We got the fumble recovery touchdown by Clark to at least score in the first half. That was huge because I believe it was 7-10 at the half. And then we came out. We did our thing. The offense looked 10 times better. We ran the ball when we needed to. We threw the ball when we needed to. And Lamar was actually making completions. Also, I think the one turning point in the game where it all kind of like shifted momentum was when Marcus Peters intercepted the ball and then fumbled it. And then we recovered it. I don't know if you saw that play.
Yeah, but basically, I saw that.
It was very close. So what happened was Phil throws it. Marcus Peters grabs it. They're both going for the ball, the receiver and Marcus Peters. Marcus Peters catches the ball, and then he's kind of taking steps backwards to the ground, but his feet are hitting the grass. His feet are hitting the turf. So he takes maybe 3 or 4 steps with the ball raised over his head. And he's caught it, technically. And the receiver knocks it away before Marcus hits the ground. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, I think that might be an interception / fumble recovery. And luckily, Harbaugh thought the same thing. He challenged it, even though the ruling on the field was an incomplete pass. We get the ball back after the challenge. And I think that really was the shift in momentum. We dominated from that point on.
Didn't Patrick Queen left the game for you guys? What was the injury on that? Is he okay, or was that a... Do you know, like, do you happen to know?
I don't. I know he left towards the end of the game. I don't think it's a big deal. The big injury this game was Calais Campbell. He left with calf injury, I believe, in the first half. And, I mean, he's a great defensive end. And I'm not sure what his timetable's looking like.
Patrick Queen has been a very great rookie addition for your defense. I think Patrick Queen has played very, very good.
Yeah, he was Yep. Patrick Queen is set. What?
You know, you're just like, yep.
Oh, no, sorry. I agree with that. I'm also looking up any news on Patrick Queen right now. See, I'm not seeing anything. So I think
the wind knocked out of him or something.
He did leave for a play, and it was towards the end of the game, but there wasn't anything to indicate it was long-lasting injury.
Okay.
Don't scare me like that. Jesus
Christ.
First round pick last year.
Well, the Ravens are good. Obviously, they're 6-2. They are a good team. I think both of these teams have very good defenses. I think the Ravens defense is great. I think the Colts defense is great. Colts defense looks completely different when they have Darius Leonard on the field. 24-10, Ravens win. So Texans Jaguars play. Horrible football game. Was not fun to watch whatsoever. But the Texans win it. So David Johnson got a concussion. He left the game. DJ Chark looked good with a new fucking quarterback. Get the jorts out of there.
Who took over for Gardner Minshew?
What's his name? It's something like Jake Luton. Luton. Jake Luton.
I think is how it's pronounced. Yeah.
304 yards. He threw a touchdown. I mean, that's he looked okay.
I mean, I'm leaning on you for this game, dude. There's no chance, even if the Ravens weren't playing at this time spot,
gonna watch it.
That I even was going to watch it.
I mean, you got all
it.
Your basics. I mean, aside from Jake Luton playing like what seemed like a competent game, I guess at 304 yards is pretty good. James Robinson, they gave him the ball 25 times. He almost cracked the 100. He had 99 rushing yards, and he had a touchdown. DJ Chark looked good. 6 or 7 receptions, 146 yards, and a touchdown. That's like the DJ Chark everyone expected to see.
Right. He hasn't been that way all season, though.
No, he hasn't. He's been not that way. Deshaun Watson, he has been. That is correct.
He's been Watson, not that way. He's been the opposite of that way.
Will Fuller, he had a 100-yard receiving game. Deshaun Watson rushed for 50 yards himself. He threw 2 touchdowns, 281 yards. Like I said, what's his name? David Johnson left the game with a concussion. That's pretty much it. Those teams are trash.
Yeah. Again, wasn't going to watch this game even unless this was a primetime game where this was the only game on that time slot, I would not watch this game. They flexed it out. I would not watch.
There's no way that wouldn't have gotten flexed out.
I mean, we had to watch fucking Jaguars Dolphins.
Yeah, but that was a fun game, remember?
No, it wasn't. The Dolphins destroyed the Jags.
Well, yeah, that's why it was fun to watch.
I lost $100 on the Jags that game. And that was the week.
Don't make me, you can't make me feel bad about that.
And that was the week that I had to shotgun because Gardner Minshew put up 8 fucking fantasy points in my fantasy league. And whoever scores the least amount of points in any given week has to take a shotgun to the face Tuesday morning. Which, guess what? Guess who's in the running this week again?
Is it you?
It's me. And in fact, if Tom Brady didn't have such a shit game yesterday, it would almost guaranteed to be me. But since Tom Brady literally put up 2 points.
So that's lucky.
Yeah, it is. I kind of knew that this week I was going to be on the chopping block for the shotgun bet. Or not the shotgun bet, but to take a shotgun with the least amount of points. Because I had just traded for Gurley. And so I had to get rid of Gurley, and I got Robert Woods, but he was on a bye.
Oh yeah.
So I and also one of my best players, Aaron Jones, had a minimal workload.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's true.
He still put up like 13 points, but if he was playing that entire game 100% healthy, I mean he's one of those guys.
20-point game.
Exactly.
Okay, so Houston wins 27-25, a little closer than anyone would have liked. The best game of the week, Carolina, Kansas City. This was a great game to watch. Real fucking upset that we lost this game.
So
Christian McCaffrey looked amazing.
Yep, I saw that McCaffrey was playing this week. Again, same time as the Ravens, so I didn't watch it.
Yeah, he had 18 carries for 69 yards and a touchdown. And then through the air, they threw it to him 10 times.
69,
and he caught all 10, 82 yards, and then another touchdown. But he hurt a shoulder in the fourth quarter. He might miss this next week.
Damn, dude. One game in, a soul for a soul. One game in, one game out.
Panthers looked good here.
I thought the Panthers were going to win. Honestly, just looking at the score updates, I thought they were going to win.
This is why we can't win any of these games because Teddy threw the ball 49 times and DJ Moore, I think, had 3 targets.
Mm. Yeah, he did actually. I saw that. DJ Moore, thank God I don't have him for fantasy. But yeah, he got targeted 3 times when Teddy threw it 40 plus times.
Yeah. I mean, Teddy completed 36 passes. He had 0 interceptions.
How about Curtis Samuels? 10 yards.
Curtis, 105 yards. He had 9 catches.
Yeah, he's still on the waivers for me, believe it or not, in my league.
This is the second. He might get picked up now. This is the second week in a row he's kind of thrown.
I think it's his third or fourth.
Well, I think the first two in that stretch were like serviceable, but not like, oh, I'm going to possibly win you a week. Now it's like, okay, he might be the difference if you're playing this dude in your flex.
Right. These are like Claypool numbers.
Right.
When Claypool had like 240 point games in a week in a row. Jesus, I can't talk.
Dude, and the Chiefs, I mean, the Chiefs are just doing cheap things. I mean, Travis Kelce targeted 12 times. He caught 10 of them, 159 yards. Tyreek had 18 fucking targets.
Yeah, that's insane.
He only caught 9 of them. Yeah, he only caught 9 of them, but 2 touchdowns and 113 yards. Mahomes is slowly building his MVP candidacy race. If he continues to play this way, he will have 50 touchdowns and 2 interceptions on the year.
Let's talk about that real quick. Who do you think, who are your top 3 picks for MVP voting this year so far?
Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, and then probably, I mean, Dalvin is in the conversation, assuming you can extrapolate on his running back stats right now. He'll never win it. Running back won't win it, not in the current state of the NFL, but he'd probably be my like reach pick. What about you?
I agree with your first two. I always have, Mahomes, he's kind of like LeBron in the fact that he'll probably always be a part of the conversation, which is nuts because he's, 25, 26? Yeah. He's so young.
He's a little baby.
Right, but the fact that he will probably be in MVP talks every season is crazy. And he would be last year too with Lamar, but he got hurt, remember? So
yeah,
I mean that's still crazy, but Lamar's my man. Russ, again, I didn't see the game this week, but he's been playing, you know, he's been cooking. Let Russ cook. Hashtag let Russ cook. I heard some talk last night during the Sunday night game that Alvin Kamara might be making an MVP campaign.
Yeah, as a running back, again, that's one of those things. I can see that. But with Michael Thomas coming back, do you think he's going to get the same volume?
No.
That's tough. Right, it's tough. Because if he does, that makes me think, like, they just paid Michael Thomas all this money. I mean, if Michael Thomas didn't have a game.
Yeah, we'll talk about it more when we get to the Sunday night game. But Michael Thomas didn't have a crazy game last night.
No, he did not. So. Anyway, Chiefs do win this game 33-31. Panthers put up a fight, but not quite. We got Vikings-Lions next. Vikings win it. Dalvin Cook had a day. Did you watch any of this game?
Was it noon? Was it a noon game?
I think it was a noon game.
I know. It was a noon game. I'm saying no, of course not.
Okay. Well,
because I already told you, Andrew, if the Ravens are playing, they're the only game I'm watching during that time.
Matthew Why Stafford is that got so his head hard? Taken off.
What?
So Matthew Stafford got his head taken off. Yeah, he went into concussion protocol.
Oh, damn, dude. You hate to see it.
I hate to see it. Chase Daniel didn't look great. I mean, he looked fine, but I mean, he didn't look great. Otherwise, I mean, Galladay didn't play. I mean, the Lions are probably doomed from the start. Kirk had a Kirk stat line, 13 completions for 220 yards, but still 3 touchdowns.
Mm.
Dalvin rushed for 206 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, he put up insane numbers again. I mean, it's crazy. I could see Cook or Kamara. If a running back's going to win this year, it would be Cook or Kamara. They're both right. Insane.
But my thing is, like, you're going to take their seasons and you have to compare them to McCaffrey's last season. And I want everyone to remember, McCaffrey had a phenomenal season last year. Now, I don't know if it was MVP worthy, but he didn't get a single vote.
Well, that's because Lamar unanimously right. won because he had pretty much the best season a quarterback can have. He had the most rushing yards. He led the league in passing touchdowns. He was, in all accounts, the most dual threat quarterback to ever exist. Really. I mean, truly, that's what won him the MVP last year. I mean, imagine leading the league in rushing yards and then also throwing the most amount of touchdown passes. I mean, combining those are insane. And so,
but listen, you're talking to a guy like that was Cam Newton's MVP season. The dude threw for 35 touchdowns and he rushed for another 10. I mean, like, you know, I mean, these guys who can do both are extremely valuable to not only your team but the league in general as like a new way to play the game.
Absolutely. So, and he was a human highlight reel every single week. There was something to put on Instagram and just watch everyone gawk at his awesome
spin
play style. And his spin moves.
You're not really into college football, are you?
Andrew, you know the answer to that question.
No, I know, but I mean have you ever seen the highlights of him at Louisville?
Yeah, I have. Oh yeah,
absolutely. Okay, I was gonna say you should definitely, if you haven't, you should check those out.
Well, like, I'm not a big college football watcher. Like, on any given Saturday, okay. First off, we haven't really talked about this. The Notre Dame Clemson game, I did watch, and that was a fucking insane game. That was
banger of a game.
Nuts. Holy shit, that was one of the best college football games I've ever watched. And again, I don't really watch that many, but
that Notre Dame running back.
Holy shit, what a crazy. Crazy game. A double overtime. Fucked. Yeah, that was fucking awesome. But, okay. So, going back to what we were saying about college football, I definitely go and look at college football highlights. If I really like an NFL player, I'll kind of go through a YouTube rabbit hole and watch highlights from even high school. I've watched Lamar's high school highlights, which is awesome.
You ever seen Derrick Henry's high school stat line?
Yes, I have. Yes, I've seen his stat line and I've seen his highlights. Both are insane. I've also seen Jadeveon Clowney's high school highlights. He is a man playing with children.
Oh, that's one of the best parts about looking at those old high school things. It's like, you know, watching them, that they're going to play in the NFL. Like, you just, there's no...
He's like 6'6", like playing against, 5'10 sophomores. And they're just running them over.
Man.
It's hilarious.
Anyway, Minnesota wins 34-20. They beat Detroit. Next up, we got Bears, Titans. Your bet's looking pretty good. Bears are 5-4.
Yeah, okay. So those of you that don't know, I have a future bet with a buddy. He's a Bears fan. And the bet, all it is whether the Bears are going to make the playoffs or not. When the Bears were 5-1, I pretty much mentally accepted that I lost the bet and that I was going to buy him a hoodie, which is what the bet was. And now I'm not sure, Andrew. Should I, like, how should I be mentally for this bet? Because I think the Bears are going to blow it.
You're not buying a thing.
The Bears are so bad. The Bears are so bad. I have to whisper this because I'm in Chicago. I live in Chicago right now. And my neighbors are Bears fans. But the Bears are bad. The Bears are so bad, man.
And their schedule, I don't know. I wouldn't want to be in the other guy's position.
Their offense is just so bad. When are they going to put Mitch Trubisky back in? Are they?
Well, here's the thing.
Or are they too far deep?
Foles completed 36 passes. He threw for 335 yards. He threw 2 touchdowns and he had no interceptions. That is not a horrible stat line.
No, okay, that's not bad at all. But I thought they were turning the ball over left and right. I thought they had like 3 or 4 fumbles.
The final, where some of those stats came from, was the final drive. And it was just
kind of garbage stats.
But you know, the Bears defense, listen to this. Ryan Tannehill, he didn't throw an interception, but only 10 completions. Derrick Henry, only 68 yards.
Yeah, I saw like that.
That defense
is Super Bowl caliber.
Crazy.
Yes, it's a Super Bowl caliber defense that's being wasted on an offense and a terrible head coach like Matt Nagy. It's not my problem.
That's a Bears problem. Yep. 17-24, Titans win it. Giants, Washington football team. Garbage bowl. I mean, this sucks. I think the Washington football team would have won it if Kyle Allen wouldn't have gone down. But he like had a horrible ankle dislocation. Like, he requires surgery and all that. His season, they haven't said it's over, but it's most likely over.
So what does that mean?
Alex Smith is a starter.
There you go.
And he's probably going to be the starter if he's taking starting reps. So here's the thing. That man was broken and almost died like 3 times. But if he comes back and even becomes just a shell, if they can protect him and he is just a pocket passer like he used to be, the dude's an extremely intelligent quarterback. That could be one of the best things for the Washington football team.
Yeah, he's just standing on toothpicks. That's a problem. I mean, that injury almost killed him, like you said, and just his leg shattered, his bones shattered in a million pieces.
He threw 3 interceptions this game.
On toothpicks. We all would.
but he completed 24 passes, had over 300 yards, and he threw a touchdown. I mean, if you give him a week to practice with the starting team, those interceptions come down. I mean, like, I think he could be a guy. I think he could be the guy.
Okay. I mean, I'm not going to watch the Washington football team. So,
well, I mean, maybe I'll watch the Washington football team if Alex Smith is playing.
I really don't think I will.
They lose 20-23.
I knew the Giants were going to win. I knew the Giants were going to win this game. I bet on them. They were also in my 9-game parlay, which I haven't really been keeping track of because, well, basically, you guys already know Seahawks ruined it. So what's the fucking point?
Okay.
Giants are okay. Chargers. Listen, just real quick, one last thing about this. The Giants are not that bad. I think there are way worse football teams out there. I think the Washington football team is one of them.
I think
the Jets are one of them. And you know what? I genuinely believe that the Giants and the Bears, if they played again, I mean, the Bears already beat them this season, but it was close. I genuinely believe the Giants could beat the Bears.
I think here's where I think you're wrong. I don't think that the Giants I don't think that the Giants don't have talent. I think the Giants have a culture mentality that is bad for them in the NFL. I think they play to the talent of their opponent. And I think that that's a common problem in some sports. And I think that if they're playing bad teams, they play poorly. And if they're playing good teams, they'll play well. But that just all that does is give them 50-50s every week. I don't think that they are good enough that you could put them against certain teams and they'd go, okay, yeah, they'd win.
But
it's the Iowa college football comparison. Iowa always plays to the level of their opponent and it fucks them.
Because it's a coin toss at that point. Yep. And usually the worst team is on the bad end of that coin toss.
Yep. I would agree. Okay. Raiders, Chargers. Chargers did not get the actual win. Oh, no. What do you got?
These are actually in order because I believe we just got through all the noon games or the early afternoon games, and now we're in the mid-afternoon games.
Did they listen to us? The NFL listened to us?
Maybe, but the NFL actually nailed, I think so. The NFL nailed this, so, because I watched this game, because this wasn't during the Ravens game. This was a great game. Holy shit. I loved watching this game.
And again, the Chargers didn't win, but they did win at the uniforms.
Those uniforms were sick. They were so close. Did you watch the final drive of that game?
No, I only saw the first half of this game, unfortunately.
Oh, Andrew, no, you missed it. The Raiders obviously were up 31-26, and the Chargers made a great game-ending drive, and they were in the red zone with 1 second left. I believe I want to say on the 5-yard line. I mean, it was close, and they managed to, you know, have a second left on the clock. And they threw it to their third string tight end, like just basically a 50-50 ball, jump ball between him and the defender. And he catches it. And everyone's, he catches it.
Everyone's going nuts.
Everyone's going nuts. And the Chargers are celebrating. And I was like, holy shit, like that was awesome. And then they have to review the touchdown because it's a scoring play. And one of the angles, literally one angle, show that the ball like bobbled on the ground in this one angle, like back. in his bread basket, and they overturned it, and it was such a heartbreaking loss for Justin Herbert and the Chargers. But what an electrifying drive that was!
Did the Chargers ever lead? It looks like they did lead at a point. Yeah, they Maybe. Did. So a point it was 14-17, then they never led again.
Yeah,
okay.
It was back and forth, yeah.
Yeah, this is the first game that the Chargers have blown a 16-point lead in like 7 weeks.
Yeah,
no. But Raiders win 31-26. Next game, Dolphins-Cardinals. And let me tell you something, the Cardinals, they're disappointing me.
So I guess the Dolphins are good. Like, I guess can we officially say that the Dolphins are good? Because I'm not sleeping on them anymore.
Okay, but here's the thing. Right now, they're not going to win their division. There's no way they beat the Bills. So they have to rely on a wild card spot, right?
I mean, at 5-3, they're right there.
Yeah, no, they are definitely right there. Tua played a great game. Second NFL start, 248 yards, 2 touchdowns, no turnovers. Rushed for 35 yards. Kyler played out of his mind, but just wasn't. I mean, he rushed for over 100 yards and a touchdown. He threw 3 touchdowns, 283 passing yards. Just, it wasn't. Like, DeAndre Hopkins was silent. 3 catches, 30 yards. Christian Kirk looked like the one.
Yeah, I know. I know because I have DeAndre Hopkins and I have Christian Kirk on my bench on the same team, on the same fantasy team. And obviously, I would never start Christian Kirk over DeAndre Hopkins. That would be silly of me to do, but it just... It'd be
fantasy suicide.
But it felt so bad because I lost this week in that league. It felt so bad watching Kirk get all the points when all I needed was like 10 points, something easily doable by DeAndre Hopkins, and he put up like 6.
Yeah, I have a league where I have Michael Thomas and DeAndre Hopkins as my 1 and 2. That was fun.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
12-man?
Yeah, 12-man. Well, Thomas is my 1, DeAndre Hopkins is my 2nd pick.
Interesting. I did see you lost by 0.2 in our Dynasty League.
Yeah, that's because I might be the worst fantasy player of all time. I don't know. I never, ever do this. I always double-check my roster. I'm leaning heavily into the idea that maybe I accidentally made a roster swap and didn't recognize it. I don't know, but because I played Chris Carson, who is out, and we've known he's going to be out for like three days
DJ
now.
DJ Dallas, baby.
Yeah, so I mean, I could have played literally anybody on my bench who was going to be like a startable asset, and I would have won the week.
Yeah, but you literally could have played anyone. You could have played. Honestly, you know who you could have played? You could have played what's his nuts on the Chargers, Herbert's backup.
yeah.
What's his name? I can't. Who got punctured? Yeah, Tyrod Taylor, because he was actually in for a play. And I'm pretty sure he got 0.2 yards on that play.
Oh, perfect. I would have won it.
So
the Dolphins pull that out. I don't want to talk about this anymore. The Dolphins win 34-31, all right? Steelers-Cowboys, where the Steelers fans all shit their pants and the Cowboys fans also shit their pants.
Yes.
Everyone's amazed.
I was mostly watching the Raiders-Chargers game, but I had my eye on this game because the Cowboys had such a big lead, and I want the Steelers to lose so bad being a Ravens fan. I knew that the Steelers were going to come back. I knew the Cowboys weren't actually going to win this game.
Right. There was no way. But Ben almost lost both his fucking knees. Did you see or hear about that?
I heard about it. I didn't see it.
Apparently, the fact that his feet weren't like actually in the ground when he got hit is what saved him, because they said that would have been a gruesome double knee injury, like had his feet got stuck in the turf.
Jeez.
But he came back. He finished the game. I mean, he didn't look good. I mean, 29 completions. I should take that back. He did look good. Ben never looks good visually, but his stat lines are always good.
Yeah, he always fumbles and bumbles and whoop his way to a win and to like a good stat line.
He's actually 306 yards, back. 3 touchdowns.
I take that back. He's not a good fantasy player. I have him on fantasy. I have him in our dynasty league, actually.
He would have scored, 306 yards and 3 touchdowns. That's not like, that's probably top 12 this week, right?
That's probably his best performance this year.
That definitely
he is usually not a good fantasy player. He usually doesn't put up 300 plus passing yards and 3 touchdowns.
What about this? What about Garrett Gilbert here?
Yeah. Gary Dimes.
Gary Dimes. Amari Cooper looked bad. He didn't look bad, but he didn't look. None of these guys are going to look like.
They're not going to look good with fucking Gary Dimes under center.
No. James, the other big thing is James Conner, they only gave him the ball 9 times. They were down, I get that. But they only gave him the ball 9 times. Normally that dude's like a 17, 18 carry guy, and that's how he makes his, because he's a grinder. But
all he needed was 3 yards.
Yeah.
And you would have won your fantasy. I'm sorry. I'm just fucking with you. I won. Did you know this? Did you know I won?
Who'd you play?
I played, I don't know. I played someone. Fins up. Right. Who's Fins up?
Okay. That's a Dolphins fan.
Well, anyway, for those of you that don't know, I'm an expansion team in this Dynasty League with Andrew. And this is only my second year, so definitely still in rebuilding phases. But I put up 150 points, and I won. So
suck it, Fins up.
Suck it.
So the Cowboys end up losing that. Shocker. 34-19. And then we got the final game of the night. Saints-Bucks.
This was an awesome night because I started Drew Brees in my shotgun beer league, and I had a prop bet on Drew Brees. I should have hammered more, but I had plus 1.5 touchdown passes. He hit that in the first quarter. It was awesome.
I'm in shock for this game.
This was a crazy game for the Bucks to lose. Like, this was insane because they had all their weapons. They even had Antonio Brown. Godwin was playing.
Antonio Brown looked good, the looks that he got.
He had one nice catch. He had one really nice catch where he like outstretched his arms. And honestly, if he hadn't caught that ball, it probably would have been another pick for Tom. Tom had 3 interceptions.
Yeah. And even the one he had, that Antonio Brown had one really deep target he beat his guy. Tom just underthrew it just a little bit, and Brown had to turn around and like smack it out of the defender's hands.
I saw that.
But if Antonio Brown hits that, like we're looking at a 4 catch, 85 yard, maybe not a touchdown. I don't know if he beats him that bad because I think the safety was just coming in over the top. But we're looking at a great game for Antonio Brown after not playing football. I'm not worried about him. I'm definitely not worried about. I don't know. I'm not even worried about the Bucks in general. I mean, they're gonna chalk this up to whatever fluke.
I think that's what you have to do when you lose to a team pretty much 38-0. I know that they got their little field goal to feel good about themselves, but when you lose that bad to a team that's on your level in the same division, you have to count it as a fluke because I don't know what like that was.
It's so bad for team morale if you're not going to do that. I mean,
and remember, Andrew, remember they almost lost to the Giants last week.
Yeah, I mean, you look at this is also bad because the Saints now hold the tiebreaker over the Bucks. Because they beat them twice. Now, I mean, the Bucks' schedule, I think, is harder than the Saints moving forward. But, I mean, it's not a super tough schedule. These guys should end up. And the Bucks still have their bye yet. They have their bye in week, like, 13.
I think the Bucks will make the playoffs, especially with the extra wild card spot. But it makes you wonder, like, if you can get destroyed this badly, it could happen again.
Right. Yeah, I don't think the
like
Saints
in the play, like they make the playoffs great, but like, do you bet on them? Do you actually think that they compete? Like what happens if they play again? They play the Saints again in the playoffs.
Yeah. How unlikely it is to lose to a team three times in a row in one season.
I fucking hate you.
Here. You know, what's funny. This is the Saints defense we thought we were going to get at the beginning of the season, and we have not seen it at all. They showed up. So if this is the new norm for the Saints very well could be Super Bowl contender. I was wavering on these guys up until tonight. Again, maybe it's a fluke. I don't know. We'll see. Because this is the weird time of the season. We're halfway through and we're seeing what teams are good, but we don't have any the only team that I'm going to go and say is guaranteed a playoff spot like are the Chiefs.
I mean the Chiefs and probably the Steelers because I mean 8-0, I don't know what the odds are, but
the probability pretty high.
But I would say any team that starts a season 8-0, and this is with an extra wild card spot, they're gonna make the playoffs. They might not win the division because the Ravens are right there 6-2, you know. So I mean we're gonna play them again Thanksgiving night. We're gonna beat them, and
I'm very excited for that game. By the way,
yeah, me too. And I imagine the Steelers will probably blow a few games here and there. So they don't have the AFC North on lock, but I think they have a wild card spot on lock.
I mean, even if the Steelers lose 8 straight, I mean, there have been so many teams in the history of the NFL that have made playoffs 8-8.
That would be hilarious. That would be so funny. I would love that. If the Ravens, I mean, if the Steelers go 8-8, that would be great. That would be awesome. I don't know what I would want more. I'm trying to think. Would I rather have the Bears not make the playoffs, or would I rather have the Steelers go 8-8?
How bad would you feel if the Steelers went 8-8 and then they beat the Ravens in the playoffs?
Shut up. That would never happen. But at least I'd win my bet if the Bears don't make the playoffs. I win that bet.
That's true. Okay, so 38-3, got the shit kicked out of them.
Stomping, anyway. Dude. Fucking stomping.
Patriots, Jets tonight. That is the night game.
Yeah. Okay, I'm pulling up DraftKings right now. DraftKings Sportsbook and Casino. I think the spread's what, 10? Is it 10? Ooh, 9.5.
I was going to say, I don't think it's quite 10.
Well, it was 10 earlier, but now it's dropped to 9.5. Patriots are -9.5 spread favorites, and the over-under is 42.5. I know what you're thinking. That is low. I'm taking the under. I'm for real. I'm taking the under. I'm not even fucking around this time. I'll always
take the over.
Okay, fine. Be an idiot. But I
what?
I think the well, I have okay, I'll tell you why. I have the Patriots D tonight. And I need them to shut down the Jets so I don't have to shotgun a beer tomorrow morning in my fantasy league.
Sure.
So I'm taking the under, duh.
Okay.
I mean, what don't you understand about that?
No, it makes perfect sense for me. You're emotionally hedging, except you're not. You're emotionally doubling down.
Emotionally doubling down. You would know. You should know a lot about that.
I don't do that. I only financially double down.
doubling down is
I only give my move. Put myself into financial ruin because I just want to.
Jets, I don't know, man. Like, I want to say they'll cover 9.5 because it's such a big lead and because the Patriots aren't good this year, but I genuinely can't say that. I think the Patriots will cover.
I'm going to take the Patriots to cover as well. I believe the Jets are like 1-7 against the spread this year.
They're so bad. They're just so
They're
bad.
Awful. And again, if Adam Gase is still the coach after the season and after the draft,
you're going to have an aneurysm. You're going to have
I might. I'm going to be sending emails. Probably.
Joe Flacco starting this game.
Is he?
Yes, he is. Sam Darnold is out.
Oh, yeah. Give me Patriots at 9. Give me Patriots at 9.5. Fuck yeah.
Don't talk about my MVP Super Bowl quarterback that way.
Was that league MVP or was that Super Bowl MVP?
It's Super Bowl. It's Super Bowl MVP.
Okay. All right. Well,
that's why I said Super Bowl. I said MVP Super Bowl.
And then obviously Moneyline, you're just taking.
I'm taking the Jets. Duh.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking moron. Okay. Wait, hold
predict,
on.
No, predict the score?
I'm looking. No, not yet. I'm looking at the props. What? I'm looking at the props, will you? Just chill
Cam
for a
Newton.
Second.
I want Cam Newton rushing yards, over 75 rushing yards.
Okay, so DraftKings is giving me 47.5 as the threshold for Cam Newton.
For Cam? Over.
I think so, right?
Yeah, over.
All right, I'm going to take that right now. I'm taking it right now.
Put $500 on it.
I'm going to put 10. I'm so done with big bets right now.
I don't care what you say. I'm putting 100 on it tonight.
Hey, that's in the intro.
That is in the intro.
And then I don't think I want to do touchdown passes. I don't trust Cam or Joe throwing touchdown passes tonight.
I'm pretty sure that next week my only bet will be the 10-team parlay. I won't be betting anything else.
Okay, hold on. Passing yards. Over under 209.
For Cam?
That under. Seems high, right?
Seems yeah. High. I'm going to say under. I love you, Cam, but I'm saying under.
That seems very high.
Just parlay this with the pass or with the rushing yards.
Okay, I think I'm done. I think I'm really only going to take the rushing yards. I'm taking over 47.5 rushing yards, Cam Newton. And you know what? Over 23.5 rushing yards for Rex Burkhead.
I don't know about that one. All right. This has been a fun segment.
Now we have to do our scores. Now we have to do our score.
Yeah,
predictor.
No, that's what I want to do. Well, are you sure? Hey, is there a prop bet on there for Joe Flacco to win a Super Bowl?
You know what? I don't think there is, but I can email DraftKings for a custom bet.
And they'll be like, yeah, we'll give you plus 10 billion odds. You're like, I'm in. I wonder if there's laws against that about like allowing you to put odds on something that literally cannot happen.
Well, here's the thing, Andrew. Here's something that you're not thinking of. It's very possible Joe Flacco could win another Super Bowl if he's the backup to a team.
Oh, yeah, of course. So, but I'm just saying, like, if the context was to win it in that game, but it's not a Super Bowl game, I wonder if there are laws against that.
Wait, what?
There have to be, right? Like, I'm just using that bet as an example. But if you offer a bet, and you're offering something that literally cannot happen, is that illegal?
I mean, probably nothing, right? Nothing's impossible statistically. Like,
no, that's not true. If you said Joe Flacco wins a Super Bowl ring tonight, again, stupid example. I'm just saying, if that were a bet and people bet on it, but obviously he can't win a Super Bowl ring tonight.
Yeah, okay, I get what you're saying now. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Right, that's got to be illegal. That's a horrible example. I mean, it's a dumb example, but you get what I'm saying. If you were to say, like...
Or if you could, let's say, you knew Sam Darnold was going to be out, but DraftKings said, you know...
Yeah, well, Sam Darnold gets a touchdown today. But, like, it's confirmed that he's out.
Well, then anyone who's... I mean, yeah, it'd be like entrapment, but also, if you just looked it up, and see that he was out, then it's a guaranteed lock.
Oh, so, that's all. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
that's
yeah. So wait. In your scenario, there's always got to be a yes or a no.
Yeah.
So
no, that's
if you
true.
If you propose something that's never going to happen, everyone's just going to take the other side of that bet.
No, that's true. Good call.
Thanks. You're making me
Patriots. You're making me
lose brain cells over here.
Jets. 3. No, that's probably not right.
Wait, what was the score? What was the score you just said?
I said 35-3, but let's do Patriots 28.
You don't get a redo.
What are you doing? Serious? Are you fucking kidding me? The Jets will score at least 6 points.
Just give me 28-6. I'm going to say 17-3 Patriots. 17-3 Patriots, low scoring game. It's not going to be fun to watch, but we're going to do it because it's Monday Night Football and that's what we do.
That is what we do. All right. Whoosh.
Whoosh. Holy shit, were we wrong?
Nah, we hit the over, baby. I was right.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you did. Okay, sorry. Let me rephrase. Holy shit, I was wrong because...
Yeah, you were.
I did not get the over-under right. I had the under. I did not get the spread right because I had the Patriots covering. And Cam Newton got like 11 rushing yards. Not even close to...
Dude, I know. But at... Up until the third quarter, he had only 2 incompletions. He was 20-22. I was like, this is not the Cam Newton that I'm used to seeing.
Yeah, no, he was completing his passes a lot. I will admit,
against the Jets defense, it's really not that great, but
right. I will admit I did fall asleep in the third quarter. So what happened was halftime rolls around. That's usually when I mix the first half of our podcast is during halftime. I closed my eyes for a second, and all of a sudden I woke up on the couch, and there's like...
They were kicking the game-winning field goal.
There was like 5 minutes left in the third quarter, and I was like, well, what the fuck? What just happened? It was such a boring game.
It was kind of boring. Cam ran a good two-minute drill at the end. I have to say this, though. Did you see the final sequence where the Jets got the ball with 1:50 left?
Yeah, with Joe Flacco.
Fuck.
They're so bad.
It was horrible. It was one of the worst sequences of football I've seen probably all year. Like they get a solid run. The only thing he can't do is take a sack, and they takes a sack, and then he doesn't pick up the blitz and he gets destroyed on the third down, and then they have to punt because that's a gimme fucking field goal from there.
Right. They totally wasted the ball back because honestly, I thought the way that they'd been playing up until that point, I thought the Jets were going to march down. They only had to march down the field, you know, 30, 40 yards and then kick a field goal.
Like if they had a time machine and knew that that's how that was going to go, they'd have been better off like taking a knee and making the Patriots waste all 3 of their timeouts. So even when they did punt to them, they had no time left.
Right.
That would have been their fucking...
I mean, they barely got that playoff because the second to last play, They're kind of like just marching down half field, like when the Patriots had the ball. And I'm like, what are you guys doing? Are you guys not going to use that last timeout? And then it clicked in my head.
Well, they wanted to spike it, but the Jets player picked up the ball and Cam, I don't know if you saw it, he's like took it from him. He's like, gave it to the ref. He's like, what the fuck?
My ball.
Yeah, well, that's why like in every game, you see with an experienced veteran, like Larry Fitzgerald does this all the time. When they're running a two-minute drill, Larry runs to the pile, grabs the ball, and hands it to an official, and then runs back to where he's supposed to be because he's like, we got to move.
Right. But yeah, I mean, they kicked the field goal with 3 seconds left. So going back to your point, the Jets, I mean, they gave all the time in the world back to the Patriots for the last play of the game, the last drive of the game. I mean, that's how can you play such a good game? Like the Jets played so well for the Jets, of course.
Right.
And how can you?
Joe Flacco looked elite.
Yeah, he did.
For a second there.
He had 2 great touchdown passes to Breshad Perriman, who also looked amazing. I remember him in Baltimore because we drafted him in the first round way back in the day. And he was terrible. He was out the entire rookie season for injuries, not his fault, but then took his sweet time, like actually getting plays in his second year, and then just was dropping passes. And then we finally got rid of him. And now he's on the Jets, reunited with Flacco, and they're dropping dimes to each other. Like he's dropping
Destiny.
Dimes. Yeah, I was like, what? Wait a second.
All I want to know is, okay, so now you've lost to a divisional opponent, Mr. Gase. But Joe Flacco played well. So what are you going to do when Darnold's healthy? Are you going to play Joe Flacco or what are you going to do?
I would keep Flacco in. Is that just me?
I seriously don't. Who's better, Flacco or Darnold?
That's why I think Flacco. That's why I would keep him in.
So, but here's my question then. So maybe Gase wants to play Flacco, but management's like, you have to play Darnold. We want that pick.
Can they do that?
They could say whatever they want to. I mean, they could come out and say like, hey, we want you to play Darnold or you're fired. I mean, he might leak that. That could be bad for his career though.
Gotcha. I thought more,
you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I thought more front office moves were more like trading players away, like that kind of stuff. Not like, but you can't touch owner, this player.
Right, but if you're the owner, like, you could say whatever you want to the coach. You can be like, hey, I really want you to play this guy. And depending on your contract structure or like just your vibe with the org, right? If you're a coach and you've got a good relationship with the guy, you'd be like, I don't think that's the right call, you know, and you're fine. I really do bet there are some orgs who you're like, I don't think that's a good call. And they're like, well, that's my team. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm sure there are assholes like that.
Yeah, like Mike McCarthy to Jerry Jones.
Yeah, no, seriously. No, seriously. I bet
that was a joke. That was a
complete, no, I really think that if Jerry Jones said, you got to do this, McCarthy's like, I don't know about that. I think Jerry Jones could say, it's my team.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. I actually think that scenario has happened in real life before. So,
I'm sure.
So I actually thought you were talking about the opposite. Like the head coach says, it's my team, even though it doesn't really make sense because it's really the owner's team. So
right, and you know, and I mean, there are probably scenarios. Well, there probably are scenarios where some head coaches have a good relationship with, they say, you know, you hired me to do this, like this is my job, and the owner goes, yeah, okay. Yeah, but
Robert Kraft and Belichick probably.
Bill Belichick. Yeah, no, I mean, I would definitely see
that. That was a legit answer. Anyway, that was a serious answer this time.
Of course, we're serious all the time.
I'm so okay, tired.
So we didn't get the spread. We both had Pats. I got the over-under. You did not. Money line, both got. We took the Pats. So that's pretty good. What are we?
What are you talking about? It's pretty good. I was 0 for 3. That's the worst.
We took. You were not 0 for 3. We took Pat's money line.
That doesn't count.
That does count. That's a bet. That's a bet we made.
You're right. So now I can officially say the Seahawks single-handedly lost me my 9-game parlay this week. That was a +900 odds to win. So thanks a lot, Russell Wilson and fucking DJ Dallas and Pete Gum-Smacking Carroll.
When the Jets were up like 27-17, in my head I was like, if I lost my parlay but like the Jets actually won, I would have been so pissed.
I mean I thought the Jets were gonna win. I honestly thought this was the battle of tanks, like the battle of the two tanks.
I mean, like, even if the Pats got the number one pick, do you think they'd probably grab Lawrence and let Cam go, right?
Probably. Here's the thing with the Patriots, I don't know how taboo this is to say, but I'll just say it. I don't think they're good at drafting. Is that okay? Is that okay to say? Like, so, they don't draft well.
Okay, but you say that, but that's because people only ever look at the first three, maybe four rounds. Bill Belichick over exceeds expectations almost every single year in rounds 5 through 7. Like, they grab defensive pieces who turn out to be key guys, and no one talks about that. Now, there's some, you know, if you're picking, you want to get as much value as possible rounds 1 through 4. But, I mean, finding those late gems, that's its own value.
Yeah, sure. Plus,
you get to the point where you have to sign these guys longer term, those guys are more, quote unquote, valuable for your team.
Right. I don't pay attention.
That doesn't mean, well, yeah.
I don't pay attention past round 3 for sure.
a lot
unless it's don't.
But, yeah, unless also, it's you don't watch college football, right? So I mean, you get to a point where you're like, I don't know who these guys are.
Oh yeah. I don't know who people are in the second round too. So
that can't be true. You know who some of those guys are.
I mean, yeah, of course I know some of those guys, like J.K. Dobbins and, you know, some of the other people that we got.
Some of the other running backs.
Right. DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, he was a running back who went in the second round.
There you go. Yeah, I know my shit. But most of the time I know the first rounders, half of the second rounders, and I'm lucky if I know any of the third rounders.
But anyway, I think that's our show. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
Ooh, well, you know what? Don't we typically preview the Thursday night game?
What is the Thursday night game?
It is Titans someone. Who is it? Hold on.
Is that Fax?
What?
Are those Fax?
What do you mean? It's Colts Titans. That's actually that's a good game.
That should be a good game. Who do you got?
Okay, I have Titans because Colts suck.
What's the spread on that? Are you able to see that right now?
I do. It is -1.5.
Yeah, okay.
And I'll let you guess what team is favored.
Titans are favored.
Correct. And then it's...
What's the over-under?
48.5, and I'll let you determine if that's an over or an under.
That's both. I think I would take the under there.
I think so, too.
Hold the Ravens to 24 points, right? I mean, and the Titans are definitely not the Ravens when it comes to scoring.
The Colts just don't have, like, I obviously watched them for an entire game this past Sunday, and I just was not impressed with their offense. And I know they're missing, like Hilton and maybe some other guys. I don't know. They're running backs, obviously.
Right. Here's the thing. The Colts have 70-plus million in cap space next year, which is scary. That's enough. They could sign Dak, and if Antonio Brown does well with the Bucs and they don't want to re-sign him, he's on a one-year deal, they could snag Antonio Brown. That team would then be scary.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I feel like you could get Antonio Brown cheap. I don't think you need to worry about cap space.
Right, but I'm just saying, like, you know, you get Dak, you can hold
Rivers
for the beginning of the
year. Say someone else that's more exciting than AB. I understand Dak, but who else could they get?
In the free market, that's tough. I don't know who's available as a wide receiver. I mean, Allen Robinson was somebody who the Bears were like, he wants to get paid, and they haven't done it yet.
What
if they don't come to a deal, Allen Robinson could be a guy who I think would be definitely scary with the Colts.
How long is DeAndre Hopkins with the Cardinals?
I think another year after this.
Okay.
I think it's 2 years. I don't know for a fact, but he's not off contract. I think they restructured even. He might be on a 3-year deal.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously we will kind of go into more depth on the Thursday night game on our Friday episode. The only problem with that being that it already happened.
Yeah, so people won't be able to.
So, but I think I would take the Titans -1.5. I did not think the Colts were that impressive. I think we just the Ravens played terrible the first half, and then we dominated.
I do like the Colts defense. I think the Colts defense.
Oh, yes. No, don't get me wrong. The defense played well. It's more, look, I'm not trying to insult the Colts. I'm more insulting being self-critical of the Ravens offense.
Sure.
Because we just did not play up to our expectations. That being said, Colts D, very good. I think they're ranked number one in rushing defense in the league, which is going to, might be a problem to Derrick Henry, but it might not be because he's a freak of nature.
That is very fucking true. A gun to my head, I'll take the Titans to win money line and to cover the spread. But I mean, this is a 50-50. It's divisional too, so who fucking knows?
Yeah, and honestly, the Titans really, really did us dirty with that Bengals game. I have serious trust issues with them.
But all right, that'll do it. We'll see you guys in a couple days.
See you guys. Have a good week.
Normally, you can only get this technique in one of my classes, but I wanted to share this with you because I believe every man should get grapefruited. When you grapefruit your man, it's going to feel as if you are giving him head and fucking him at the same time.
Every time I come around your city, bling, bling. Every time I come around your city, bling, bling. Every time I come around your city, bling, bling. Every time I come around your city, bling, bling. Every time I come around your city, bling, bling. Every time I come around your city, bling, bling.
Valentino summers and wave runners. Chains on my niggas like slave runners. Drug dealers anonymous. Valentino summers and wave runners. Chains on my niggas like slave runners. Drug dealers anonymous. How many Madonnas can that Mazda fit? My brick talk is more than obvious. It's ominous. Garage is the phantom. Ghouls, ghosts, and goblins. Blonde mohawk the collection. I'm Dennis Rodman.
No better feeling would he ever get than being grapefruited. No better feeling would he ever get.
Every time I come around your city, bling, bling. Every time I come around your city, bling, bling. Every time I come around your city, bling, bling. Every time I come around your city, bling, bling. Every time I come around your city, bling, bling. Every time I come around your city, bling, bling.
hit the showers because baths are for babies.